Tomorrow in the Philippines, we will be celebrating the feast of Santo Niño, an annual feast in honor of the child Jesus. It's a feast that reflects on the extraordinary combination of greatness and littleness, of power and weakness, of a God, a king, who is also a little child. So you know that devotion and you know the richness of it. But this combination is actually evident throughout the scriptures, and especially in the Gospels, because this is Jesus. He is God, he is the Word of the Father, but he's also flesh. He's become man, and he's joined himself to our human condition in every way except for sin. In today's Gospel, we see Jesus, who looks like an ordinary man, carpenter from Nazareth, who is acting with a power that goes beyond an ordinary carpenter from Nazareth. He's a preacher. He's extraordinary in his impact on people. And in today's Gospel, the impact is focused especially on one tax collector, Levi. What does Jesus say to Levi? Follow me. That's it. Two words. And that completely changes Levi's life. We know him as Matthew, but it's the same. The tax collector who completely leaves his life and his sinful past behind and becomes an apostle and an evangelist. It's another sign of this great power that is at work and is present in Jesus, who looks like an ordinary man. And Jesus continues to remain with the lowly. He eats with the tax collectors and the sinners. He looks like a sinner himself in the eyes of the Pharisees. So how can he be great if he's eating with tax collectors and sinners? And then Jesus, with a very profound answer, says that those who are well do not need a physician. The sick do. So if a doctor is only hanging around with doctors or people who are well, he's not doing his job. A doctor has to see sick people. A doctor has to serve sick people. That's his job. That's what he should do. And this is what Jesus does. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. I didn't come to eat at the banquets of the Pharisees. I came to reach out to Levi and to all sinners. Now, this is a great consolation to us. If we recognize that we're among the sinners, we're among the sick, then we say, well, this is great that there's this greatness of God, this power of God has come down among us and made himself available to us sinners. Very great. But if we think of ourselves as great, as powerful, well, then this idea of combining greatness and lowliness is not appealing at all. And that's why the Pharisees could not accept the actions and the presence of Jesus. It was disturbing to them. In today's first reading, it says that Jesus is a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. So the greatness. But he's not unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, that the reading says, because he has similarly been tested in every way. He knows exactly what we experience and what we go through, what it's like to be a person with the day-to-day struggles and responsibilities. He says everything. Without sin. So let us confidently approach the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace for timely help. Why do we have confidence to approach the throne of grace? Because the throne of grace has not remained in a lofty, distant, unapproachable heavens, but has come down among us in the form of a child, a weak, ordinary man from Nazareth. In the beginning of today's first reading, there's this famous passage about the Word of God, and I'd like to focus on this now. This is very familiar to every person in the Anuim community. In fact, it's inscribed in the wall, the memorial wall of our founder, Father Francis, because it was one of his favorite passages. It's about the power of the Word. The Word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword. We think of words in a kind of ordinary way, perhaps, because we use them so much and we hear them so often, and words are thrown around without much value. In fact, with the advent of social media and with fake news, a lot of words are completely worthless. They don't even convey truth. They're just a lot of noise. But here, the ordinariness of the word is endowed with extraordinary power, living and effective, to the point where it can penetrate the deepest recesses of our being, penetrating between soul and spirit, between joints and marrow, able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart. So it's the power to penetrate more deeply into ourselves than we can even see ourselves. Do you know the difference between your soul and your spirit? Where the boundary is between soul and spirit? Are you able to discern the reflections and thoughts of your own heart? Most of us can't, not very well. But the Word of God has this power, because it comes from God, to penetrate the depths of our soul and lay bare what is hidden from us. This Word of God, well, Jesus himself is the Word of God. And his spoken word has this power, as it did for Levi. Follow me was like a sword that pierced Levi and transformed him. It cut him free from his sinful past and sinful life, and penetrated into the reflections and thoughts of his heart and transformed him into an apostle. So this is the word that is Jesus and the word that Jesus speaks. It's also the word that we find in the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. It's a living word, a powerful word. But not in such a way that all we have to do is read it and it will automatically work, or pronounce it and it will automatically work. Maybe you have seen preachers who get up on the corner or get on the bus and they just read from the scriptures, as if that alone is going to have the power to transform. Well, usually not. Even myself, I'm a preacher. I get up and I read from the Word of God. And it can have extraordinary power because it's the Word of God, but usually it requires some explanation. It requires some interiorization, some personalization, some application, because it's a living word. So the word on the page is the Word of God, but it doesn't have its living effect on us until it's somehow brought to life in a person's life. Now, that's certainly the task of preachers, but it's also the task of all of us. That's why we ponder the word. That's why we present ourselves before this two-edged sword, because just leaving it in the book, or just leaving it spoken, or just read, it leaves a space between us and the sword, and we don't get cut by it. We're not helped by it very much. A lot of people have Bibles. A lot of people have Bibles in their houses, but that doesn't seem to have any effect on them. Well, that's because there's no effort to expose ourselves to the power of this two-edged sword. But this is what we do in Anuma, trying to let the power of this sword have its effect on us. Now, we can't make it happen. I'm sure all of you have tried this. You sit down in the morning, take a prayer time, open the Bible, open the Anuma Way, read the readings of the day. Nothing. It means nothing. You can't get anything out of it. I'm sure you have it. Because it's not up to our will to make God's word have its effect on us. We present ourselves before God, and then it's up to God how he wants to speak, how he wants to be silent, how he wants to cut us, how he wants to heal us, how he wants to challenge us, or how he wants to simply leave us in waiting. And that's up to God. But if we never give that space to God, if we never give time to the Word, well then, it's very unlikely that we'll have any effect. That two-edged sword won't penetrate between soul and spirit, it just remains in the book. So, if we are looking for an experience like Levi, where the Word has such an effect on us that it changes us, we can't simply leave the Word on the page, or even just in our ears. We have to let the Word penetrate more deeply, or at least allow God to do what He wants with the power of His Word. Going back to where we started with this idea of the Santo Niño, because that's the big feast tomorrow. A lot of people have a Santo Niño in their house, on their altar. Or maybe most Filipinos have an image of Santo Niño somewhere in their house. Does that make them holy? Does it make them faithful? Does it make them childlike? Maybe, but not unless there's some effort to pray or some effort to reflect on what Jesus coming as a child means to us. But if it's just a statue gathering dust in the corner of the house, well, we're not allowing it to have its great power. So I think it's something like this. God has come, He's come among us. He's the living Word. He's the Word made flesh who dwells among us. But He doesn't force Himself into our hearts. He invites, He calls, He says, follow me. But it's up to us to get up and follow. It's up to us to allow our hearts to be pierced by the Word. So we do have a responsibility. Even though God has all the power, we have a responsibility to let that Word, that sword, have its effect in our lives.